Mountain Gap Church welcomes you to join us as we share this kingdom message of hope, featuring our pastor, Rick Womack.
And this is the wrestling that we have with our faith, is our understanding of authority, because we get frustrated because we don't see God's healing in our time. But we have to understand that the authority of Jesus is over every other authority. There is no name by which man can be saved. The name of Jesus is above all other names. And we all have a purpose and a part to play in the kingdom. And our part and our purpose is much larger than you might think it is. And so this morning I want to talk a little bit about that, starting in the Old Testament and then moving to the New Testament and then probably coming back to the Old Testament, because there are some promises in the Old Testament. I really started this week planning to preach from Isaiah 54. Some of you will know that passage already. I was planning to preach from that, but then as I moved on through the week, it took a different direction. So we're going to end with Isaiah 54, but that's not the heartbeat of the message. So would you just stand with me and let us pray together one more time? I want to read one passage of Scripture. It's out of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And it says, Paul writing, says, "Now to him," this is one of my favorite verses, "now to him who is able," say he is able, "he is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is working is at work within us. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask, think, or imagine." Think is in another translation. "According to his power that is at work within us." God, help us to see that you're much larger than we think you are, and that your plans are much greater than we even can comprehend. Help us, God, to have a heart that's hungry this morning, a mind that's open, and a spirit that is receptive. God, give us ears to hear what the Holy Spirit would say to each of us. And Lord, we thank you that you are the healer. And we thank you for healing, Lord, that's taking place and I believe is going to even take place this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I've got a video at the end. I want to make sure the media team, I don't think I said this, but make sure it's plenty loud. Don't blow us out of the room, but just make sure we have no problems hearing it. God gave a promise to Abraham, and we're going to look at a couple of passages in the Old Testament where he gave that promise. He said in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, he said, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." And when he was making this promise, he had in mind, we understand now, the son that would come as a sacrificial lamb to die. Because ultimately, Abraham was a blessing and God blessed through him, but there was another blessing that would come, and that blessing was the Son of God who would be the carrier or the conduit of that blessing. You understand? Everybody got it? He says in Genesis chapter 22, this is also a promise. He says, "And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed." All nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. So we understand that through Abraham, there is a blessing, there is a promise. I want you to understand something this morning. There is a blessing and there is a promise that is available to you, and there are more than one blessing and one more than one promise that is available to you when your life is in Christ, when Christ is in your life. Paul was writing to the church in Galatia, and he said this in chapter 3, verse 6. He says, "So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." Now, what does that mean? It means he stood rightly with God. God looked at him and said, "You and I are right. You're right with me." Understand then, okay, Paul is teaching here. He's writing a personal letter. He's teaching the church. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Y'all remember what Abraham was told? Through your offspring, all the nations on the earth will be blessed. because you have obeyed me. God said in Genesis 12:3, he said, and I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So Paul says that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham when he said this, quote, all nations will be blessed through you. So God already had in his foreknowledge, God already had in his understanding that the Jews weren't the only people that God loved, that there was a nation of Gentiles, of outcasts, that were going to be loved by God the Father, and he had a plan to make them one with the nation, the Jewish people, so that they could be one nation, and that plan comes about because of Christ. Because Jesus' death is sacrificial and for all. Verse 9, so those who rely on faith, let me just stop right there. Because I'm challenged by that word, rely. It sounds pretty and it sounds scriptural or spiritual, I should say. Well, it sounds scriptural too. But when I say, I'm just trusting in the Lord, brother. When in reality, I'm trying to figure it out on my own. Anybody else done that? It sounds spiritual when we say one thing and we do another. Guilty as charged. So those who rely on faith are blessed, along with Abraham, the man of faith. Those who rely on faith are blessed, along with Abraham. And then he's given the title, the man of faith. And Paul is writing this verse in Galatians, and he's looking back because he understood. He was a scholar. He understood the Old Testament. He understood the law. He understood the history and the heritage that he had. And he's looking back, and he sees Abraham, and he sees that God was blessing Abraham, and God did indeed bless him. But he understands something, that the blessing didn't just stop there, that because of Christ, the blessing continues on. There's a conduit. There is a pathway for that blessing to continue through, and that pathway is because Jesus came and surrendered himself. And he's looking back at Genesis 15:4, and he says, the word of the Lord came to him. This is Abraham. He's looking back and he says, the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. And he took him outside and he said, look up at the sky and count. Count. I can't read that back there anymore. I have to get a new projector. Count the stars. I'm over here going, count. Where's the word count? Count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So Paul in Galatians 3 is looking back to Genesis 15. And I've preached this, I'm going to re-preach it because I think it's important for us to understand, because I think I went through it last time I preached this subsection very quickly. But we're going to go back and listen to it and look at it again. There is a process of faith that takes place in this. Y'all remember when I preached it? You do? You want to preach it for me? I'll take a break. There is a process of faith. And the first step that we see is that Abraham heard God. We're building towards something. I'm not going to take a lot of time, but this is just consider this review. If you didn't write it down, write it down. Abraham heard God. It says in verse 4, the word of the Lord came to him. Abraham, getting ahead of myself, heard God. Then the word of the Lord came to him. So the process of faith is not just positive thinking. You got to hear what the Lord says. What does God say about your life? What does God say about your situation? What is God speaking? Let me ask it a different way. What voices are you listening to? Because we have voices all around us. We can choose to listen to the voice of the Lord, or sometimes we choose to listen to the voice of self. The voice of self, it can go in a couple of different directions. It can either be very condemning, and you'll put yourself in a box and just say, I'll never be able to do anything. God could never use me in such and such way. I can never be like XYZ because I am not believing that God could do that. And you're listening not to the word of the Lord, but you're listening to self. The other voice of self on this side can be the one who says, I can do it all. I kind of had a bad day. I better pray. And then you go on through life for another 2 or 3 weeks and you're doing good and you're doing it yourself and you're doing it yourself and you're making it happen and everything's just churning along. And you and I begin to get this big head like I made it happen. We just get swollen. Voice of others. We listen to the voice of others. Sometimes we listen to the voice of circumstance. That's probably the one that I struggle with the most. I look at things as the way they are and I think, Lord, what are you saying? I'm just being really honest with you. Okay? There's another voice that you have to be careful of. That's the voice of the accuser. The enemy's voice sounds like accusation. So how do you listen to the Lord's voice? How do you hear from God? Let me just give you a couple of practical ways. Number one, get into His Word. If you're not in the Word of the Lord, He's not going to speak to you because that is His Word to you. Number two, get connected with some other people. Find some people with whom you can be gut-level honest and say, I'm struggling here or I need you to pray for me there. Get connected and be a part of a body. If you're in and out of a church, stop it. Get in and stay in. And I'm not saying that because anybody's here that hadn't been here before. All of y'all have been here before, I think. But get plugged in and get connected because the reality is we're called a body. And if I sever my hand and lay it over there on the right-hand side of the stage and try to go out and play basketball with the teenagers, I'm going to look pretty pitiful because I left my hand over there. And you're a hand. And if you've severed yourself from the body, it's going to be hard for God to use you. The second thing is that Abraham saw what God meant. See, it says that he took him outside. And God said in verse 5, he says, look up at the sky and count the stars. So Abraham didn't only hear what God said, he saw what he meant. Now this, to me, is key. Because this is where we miss it sometimes. This is what fired me up so much last week when Tommy was up here testifying. And he was saying, God had given me a vision for my marriage. Do you see that when God gives you a vision for something, you can run with it. You can run with it and you can go and it'll drive you because you know God hasn't only spoken. He's not only spoken it, but He's told you what it's going to look like. He's going to say, this is what I mean. That's the reason why many wives have said, you know what, I'm not going to file for a divorce because I know God has said He's going to bring my husband into a relationship with Him and God is going to redeem our marriage. I know that. I've heard that testimony. And it goes the other way also. That's the reason why moms and grandmoms don't give up on their children or their grandchildren because they understand that God said, I am going to get them. Just don't give up on them. What does that mean? God has spoken something and oftentimes God has given them a vision of what it means. And God speaks to Abraham. He says, I want you to go outside. I want you to look up at the stars and then I want you to count them if you can. And the final thing is that Abraham believed it. Abraham believed. I skipped my verse there in Hebrews, didn't I? No. Abraham believed. That's the part that we have to be active in. Hebrews says this. All these people were still living by faith when they died. Now here's the hard part. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them. I guess what you could say is that they had a vision. They only saw them from a distance. The thing is that they saw them. They saw them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers here on earth. So the three things, number one, Abraham heard God. Number two, Abraham saw what God meant. And number three, Abraham believed. I want to go to the New Testament for a moment. So a couple of stories in Matthew. Matthew, where is one? Technical difficulties because I'm standing up. Y'all got all that? Okay. I'm going to close in prayer now. Just kidding. All right. Let me go right there. It's supposed to be up there. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. I'm just going to read them real quickly. Or you can turn there or punch it in on your app. Just three verses, and then we're going to jump down to 5, and we'll have those on the screen for you. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him, and a man with leprosy came and knelt before him, and he said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And then Jesus reached out his hand, and he touched him. And then he said, "I'm willing, be clean." And immediately the scripture tells us the man was cleansed of his leprosy. I want to look at these two healing incidences in Matthew 8. This is the first one. And I want you to see something, and this is going to be set up. And I know next week is a Thanksgiving week. And I know some of you are going to be traveling. We'll be traveling. Some of you will spend lots of money on Black Friday or Gray Thursday. Some of you will need to come to church to pray for healing because you'll have a food baby, right? Y'all know what a food baby is, right? Some of you are saying yes, and some of you are thinking, please don't say my name, Pastor Rick. I want to ask you these next 4 or 5 weeks to do everything you can to get every person that you know in here, because I want to believe God for healing for their lives. I don't claim to have a healing anointing. I don't. If the Lord wants to do it, we'll let him do it. But I believe that this is going to be a season where God heals people in this house, and I'm going to trust him. I don't know what it's going to look like. And I'm stepping out in faith and don't know where we're going, but I'm trying to put the ball on the tee this morning so that next week we can swing. Okay. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, there's a leper that comes, and he reaches out to Jesus verbally, and he says, "If you're willing, you can touch me and you can make me clean." And you know what Jesus does? Well, of course we know. He touches him. Here's what I want you to see, church. That man lived with a condition that ostracized him from the community. It put him in a box where he had to live on the outskirts of town. He had to live outside the camp it talks about in the Old Testament. And so he couldn't necessarily be an integral part of that community. He couldn't just go and, you know, go to Piggy Park and order a scrambled burger like everybody else. He had to wait until Piggy Park was closed and hope there was a scrambled something left over when it was all said and done. You might have been to Piggy Park lately. Where are my Piggy Park fans? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Ronald. I thought you were one. So, this man couldn't connect with the community on a regular basis because of his leprosy. Jesus, don't miss this point. It's not going to come across with I don't have fireworks to say this. I don't have a drum roll. I'm just going to say it. Jesus cares about the small details of your life. And he cares so much that he walks up to the part that separates this man from the crowd, and he touches. He touches the leper. He touches the man who is unclean and diseased. And then he says, be healed. I'm able. Be healed. See, God desires to help you in your present situation. If you are here this morning and you're thinking, I just got to get my life cleaned up. Stop it. Stop thinking that. Because you can never clean it up. Because you're broken. You're messed up just like me. It's only the Lord that can do that. Only the Lord can clean you. Only the Lord can touch you in the place where you are diseased and say, I am willing to be clean. Only the Lord can do that. And He desires to touch you in your present situation, in your present limitation, in that thing that is keeping you from the rest of the camp. See, I was talking about the voices you listen to, and I talked about listening to the voice of circumstance. It's so easy for us, and for me, I'll make it personal. It's so easy for me to listen to that voice of circumstance and just decide, well, you know what? I'm going to live under these circumstances. Well, what's the problem with living under the circumstances? I'm not living under the Lordship of Christ if I'm living under the Lordship of the circumstances. I'm struggling to get these words out. God wants to touch you. You need to know that. And then Matthew chapter 8, verses 5. We're going to get there. Right there. Here it is. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him and asked him for help. Let me get my voice on that I use to read audiobooks. Johnny, will you come here? I'm just kidding. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. And Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? And the centurion replied and he said, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed, for I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. Verse 10, and when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. I just for once in my life would like to think that the Lord could be amazed at something I did. I mean, that's powerful. Jesus was amazed. And he said to those that were following him, he was talking to those people who were closest to him. He's hoping that the disciples here will get a clue. He says, truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then Jesus said to the centurion, he said, go. Let it be done. Just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. The centurion just wanted Jesus to heal his son from a painful sickness, but he understood something that we wrestle with. He understood something. He understood authority. He understood that sickness was under the authority of Jesus. Just like his soldiers were under his authority. He could send word to his soldiers, come, and they better get there. He could send word to his soldiers, hey, go do this, and they better go do that. He could send word to his soldiers, I need you to go, and they better go. And so he understood, and this is the wrestling that we have with our faith, is our understanding of authority, because we get frustrated because we don't see God's healing in our time. But we have to understand that the authority of Jesus is over every other authority. There is no name above which man can be saved, by which man can be saved. The name of Jesus is above all other names. And so if his name is above every other name, then what he needs is he just needs the Savior, Jesus, the man, needs Jesus to speak it. Just say it. Just say the word. My servant will be healed. And when Jesus heard this, it says in verse 10, he was amazed. And he uses it to teach the disciples. And he uses it to teach us. Truly I tell you, I've not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. This man understood. What did he understand? He understood that he didn't need Jesus to come touch his son. He just needed Jesus to speak it, to say it. One man is healed by a touch. One man is healed by a word. Jesus is involved in both of them. Let me go back to Galatians. I want to wrap up here, and we're going to watch something in just a minute, but we'll go back to this verse. So, also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify. And that tense in the original language is justify and keep on justifying. Through how? How does that happen? Through Christ. God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All the nations will be blessed. So those who rely on Abraham or rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham. And because of that, all the nations are blessed. So here's the deal. I'm kind of teeing us up for something. We're going to get ready in just a moment, guys. And when we roll this video, let's dim the lights. But here's the deal. God had a word for us in Genesis 12 and all through Genesis and everywhere else. But he had a word for us through Abraham that we could be recipients of that blessing. Paul understood it, and he began to unpack it for the Galatians, began to help them understand. This blessing isn't just for the Old Testament. It's not just for Abraham. That blessing is for us. God wants us to participate or to share in that blessing. I started out with Ephesians 3:20. And the reason why I started there this morning is because God is able to do immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us through Jesus Christ. God is able. God is able to do more than you. How much can you imagine? Alyssa and I went to the football game yesterday in Athens, and in the first, everybody who's watched it that wants to watch it, I'm getting ready. This is a spoiler alert if you've got it recorded. And in the first 23 seconds, Georgia scored a touchdown. And I thought, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I'm imagining this is going to be like 65-1. I don't know how you get one, but they'll figure it out. They're that bad, you know. It's 65-3 or something like that. And so in the first minute, my imagination is just going wild. I'm like, this is great. It's going to be a good football game. My daughter's going to love it. We're fired up. We're screaming. She's like, make sure I don't scream too much because I got to sing tomorrow. See, it's good stewardship, Jennifer. She was looking out, thinking ahead. And so my imagination just begins to go, and I'm thinking, this is going to be a blowout. And then sometimes we have this ability to let other teams catch up. But that was only because they put the second and third string in. But my point is, my imagination went pretty crazy right there. I was like, yeah, it's going to be a blowout. 65 points. Here we go. God is able to do more than you can ask. God is able to do more than you and I can imagine. How? According to his power that is at work within us. Let's watch this video.
I'm going to tell you a story about a guy named Dwayne. Dwayne was a pastor in Texas and called by God and a great Bible teacher and a Bible preacher. And there was one weekend he got sick and he caught a flu, like sometimes we catch a little, just an average flu virus. Well, he got up to preach that morning, and as he did every week, and he preached the first service. They had two services on Sunday morning, and he wasn't feeling that great. His voice was a little bit kind of feeling rough, but he preached. And then he went ahead and preached the second service and was feeling a little bit worse. They had an evening service that night, and he told the leaders, he said, I can't preach tonight. My voice is just gone, and I don't know what's going on. And well, what ended up happening was this flu virus attacked his vocal cords. It was a very unusual thing. The doctors couldn't even quite figure it out. It damaged the nerve tissue of his vocal cords beyond repair. Over the next 3 years, he went to 63 specialists and their teams, over 200 doctors, as they tried to diagnose him and treat him. His voice, he said, it felt like the worst case of laryngitis. He said, it felt like somebody choking you, like just pressing up against your vocal cords, like this nonstop pressure against your throat. A year after he was experienced this flu virus, he had to step down from his church. And that's what he felt called to do. I mean, as you know, as a pastor, our voice is kind of important, right? I only do two or three things, and one of which is preach. And I cast vision, and I lead. I preach, lead, and cast vision as the shepherd. And you need a voice. It helps. He didn't have a voice. So after a year, on his own willingness, he said, this church needs to find a new pastor. I don't know what's going on. He was devastated. His family moved down to Houston. His wife got a job because it took him a while to figure out what to do. His whole life he'd been trained for ministry and prepared for ministry, and now he can't do that. Doesn't even have a voice. Can't even talk. He did eventually find a job, but just went through some struggles, depression, discouragement. You can imagine. Pastors are human just like you. Finally, they became a part of this large church in Houston, Texas, a large Baptist church. And there was one Sunday that the Sunday school teacher, the Bible study teacher, wasn't able to go because he was sick. He wasn't able to teach. So they asked Dwayne. Of course, they knew that he was discouraged and maybe thought maybe they could, you know, it would be encouragement to have him teach. And so they asked him to be the substitute teacher. And he's like, I can't teach. I mean, you don't want to listen to this voice. And so they hooked him up with this microphone, the special microphone where they could, you could just barely hear what he was saying and understand it just a little bit. And that Sunday, as he was teaching in a Southern Baptist church in Houston, Texas, it was the only Bible study class in the entire church that actually would audio tape the lesson, because with it being a large class of over 150 people, there might be one or two that weren't there, so they would tape it and then give it to people who were absent or who weren't there. Have two or three tapes laying on the table each week for people who maybe missed the previous week. So they record it. It just so happened that the lesson that was lined up, this curriculum that was lined up, even by the denomination, it came on Psalm 103. He begins to teach. And of course, he's trying to explain the fact that God doesn't heal all the time. Of course, here he is with this voice. And so he's saying, you know, God forgives all our sins, but he doesn't always heal our diseases. And I want you to listen to this audio tape. Pastor Dwayne Miller.
So when the psalmist writes, and he heals all of my diseases, let me say to you that I believe God still heals. That hasn't ended. That is not over. Now you have to be careful on how you do this, because there are folks who carry things to an excess and it becomes a show. And God has never intended that be what it is. God heals in his sovereign will. I don't know why God does things that he does, but I know that he does. And the only thing he requires of me is to allow him to be God and me to be me, and let it be. To say that every single person will always be healed because Jesus died on the cross is a misinterpretation of Scripture. Not true. Won't work. Isaiah 53 doesn't talk about physical healing. I'm sorry. That's just not the context. And to impress that there causes a misinterpretation of Scripture. That's wrong. On the other hand, to say that, since we don't have anything after the book of Acts, that miracles ended at the book of Acts and they never happen again, is equally as wrong. Because you have put God in a box both ways. And he doesn't want to be in the box. So, the psalmist says, I'm excited, bless the Lord, O my soul. One of his benefits is, he heals all of my diseases. And then in verse 4 he says, and he redeems my life from the pit. Now I like that verse just a whole lot. I have had, and you have had in times past, pit experiences. We've all had times when our life seemed to be in a pit, in a grave. And we didn't have an answer for the pit we find ourselves in. And I don't understand this right now. I'm a bit overwhelmed at the moment. I'm not quite sure what to say or do. Sounds funny to say at a loss for words. Thank you, Lord. He redeems my life from the pit. And crowns me with love and compassion. He satisfies my desires with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. The Lord is slow to anger. The Lord is abounding in love. The Lord will not accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, that's mercy. Or repay us according to our iniquities, that's mercy. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us.
Wow. He said, whenever he said the word pit, he later explained, he said the word pit, all of a sudden that pressure that he'd felt on his throat, all of a sudden was released. And his voice came back. And then he was able to get back into ministry and get back into the pastoring. And even later traveled the country, wrote a book on what God did and shared that with others. You know, there's something powerful whenever we see a miracle. And I was thinking about it this morning. I think that the most powerful thing is certainly he was blessed. But now I think other people, our faith rises up within us. Well, if God could do that for him, maybe he could do that for me. He heals all my diseases. Maybe today you need a healing. It may be a physical healing. It may be an emotional healing. It may be a spiritual healing. It may be a mental healing. It may be a relational healing. It may be a healing you can't even describe. Just like something's not right. I need help. I need hope. I need healing. We're going to pray right now. We're going to pray. I want you to think of that one thing. There may be more. Put in your mind, think of the one thing that you'd love to be healed from. One thing. Think about that for a moment. Everybody got it? Now, how many of you believe God's big enough to do a miracle in where you need a healing? I do too. In a moment, we're going to pray. But the first thing is, if you would like to know for sure that Jesus is your Savior and Lord, and trust Him in your heart, believing that He died on the cross and rose from the grave, the most important healing that we need is our sins are forgiven and we have Jesus as our Savior and Lord. So if you'll join me and just pray this prayer from your heart to God, say, "Dear God, I realize that I've sinned and I need You. Thank You for dying on the cross and for rising from the grave. Come into my heart and save me. Thank You for giving me eternal and abundant life. Help me to live for You the rest of my life. In Jesus' name."
Some of you have seen that, I think, maybe. I came across it a few days ago, and I, from what I understand, Focus on the Family has used it in some of their programs. And that pastor was Matt Fry. He pastors a church called C3 Church. It's in, I think, the Research Triangle Park area of North Carolina, probably Durham area, something like that. I've got one of Matt's books, who he is associated with, so I thought he did a great job of setting that up. The truth is, guys, that God redeems our life from the pit. And for all of us, that pit is different. For Dwayne Miller, the pit was over a year of struggle to find his voice again. I think that resonates with me so much. Because I feel like the Lord is helping me to find my voice as a pastor and as a leader, to know that it's His voice that leads, and to be surrendered to constantly an openness. I'm not going to say I get it all right, because I don't. I don't always hear Him. I don't always hear rightly. Sure, I'm trying my best to hear Him, and when I hear Him, to lead humbly and discreetly under His leadership. I think that's why that video resonated with me so much, is because He found His voice. For all of us, we've been in a pit at some point in our life. Some of us have been in a pit for years and years of our lives. Some of us have been in a pit physically. Some of us have been in a pit emotionally. Some of us have been in a pit spiritually speaking. And I thought it was so amazing that when He said He redeems my life from the pit, His voice came back. Will you stand with me? You see, when you know where God has brought you from, can walk in the confidence that the Lord is going to keep you going. So this morning, if you need prayer for anything, if you need to be redeemed from a pit, if you're in a pit, we're just going to pray for you. That's what we want to do. I'm not going to prolong this, but we might be here until 6 p.m. if the Lord wants, right? If He wants it. Are we hungry for His presence or what, church? Are we hungry for the Lord or what? I am. So I'm going to pray, and then they're going to sing. And then as they begin to sing in just a moment, I want to ask you to come to the front. And then other brothers and sisters, as you feel led by the Spirit of God, if you want to come and lay hands on and lead these people in prayer, I'm just going to open these altars at this time of ministry up for folks to pray and seek the Lord. So will you bow your heads with me for just a moment? I'm going to ask you to come up in just a moment. I've already told you that. I'm not going to sucker punch you. But I am going to ask you, are you coming? Do you need prayer this morning? Do you need prayer? Are you in a pit? Do you need to say, I need to get up out of this thing? God, get me up out of here. If you're on the platform, you go down. If you're in a sound booth, you come up. Wherever you are, let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for boldness and courage to step out and to say, I'm in a pit and I need you to touch me right now. I need your power to flow through my life. I need your healing to touch my mind. I need your healing to touch my body. I need your healing to touch my life right where I am. I'm stepping out, Lord. I'm stepping out, Father, and I'm going to meet you here at this altar in the name of Jesus. Will you do that right now? Let's worship together. I want to ask you just to sit tight for another moment or two. And young youth, and old youth. I don't know. Come up here. Stay right over here in front. Leslie, you come on up. You're the leaders. You girls, come on up. Part of the family. You don't have to sing, dance, talk. Others do. Any other youth? Colby, come on up. Don't. You're going to have to use the microphone. If you have a word for this generation, I'll come to you. Okay? If you've got a word, not y'all look pretty. We know they look pretty, except for the guys. They look handsome. But if you have a word, something that you would want to say to them, I want to come to you. And I don't want to prolong this, but I just want to take an opportunity to speak with our voice to this generation. Who's got a word? Now stand up, Mom.
I just want to say I always trust in Jesus because He will always guide you the right way.
Somebody else. That's good. Somebody else. Miss Sue. You can't preach now, Miss Sue. She's going to preach next 2017.
I'm 69 years old, and I'm 70. I was saved when I was 4 years old, and I never turned my back on the Lord. And there's a song that I love. It says, He's been faithful, faithful to me. Looking back, His mercies I see. In my heart, I've been even questioning and doubted, didn't believe, but He's been faithful to me.
Somebody else. Raymond. You ever get to preach and walk around like this? Yeah.
I was saved very young also. And God has wired each one of you specifically. You have talents, you have abilities. God has given them to you. You might think you're strange compared to your friends. I was. But each one of you are wired the way God be yourself.
That's good. Someone else. Somebody, I'm back here. Mr. Ronald. Coming to you.
One of the toughest things you'll have to deal with in life is peer pressure. You're in the world, but you're not out of the world. You don't have to be out. Dare to be an individual. Dare to stand up when everybody else is doing it and say, I have convictions, draw a line and call them standards. I don't go past that standard. I don't do that. And it's not a don't do world. There's so many wonderful things we can't do as Christians, but we don't have to be of the world. So be an individual. I dare you, to be one. Stand strong when everybody else is going the wrong way. And they'll come back and thank you for it.
That's good. That's good. Somebody else over here? Heather?
I just have it really strong in my heart that faith, do not give in to fear, but just
good. Anybody else? Anybody else near me? Because I'm walking to the other side. I'm coming to you, Charlie. All right, I'm leaving this side. Bruce, you missed your opportunity, my friend. I'll come back to you. Yes.
Abundantly above all that we ask and think. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ever ask or think, according to the power that works within you.
Amen. That's good. George.
Be strong and courageous.
Amen. That's the word of the Lord to Joshua about 4 or 5 times in the first chapter.
I just want to repeat to you guys that God doesn't make any mistakes. None of you are a mistake. You're here right now for a time and a reason, and He has a purpose for you.
Amen. He has a purpose. It's good. Miss Francis, you want to preach? Miss Liz, you got anything you want to say to him? Let me quote in case you didn't hear. Give me that thing. Now, I gave it to you for a reason now. Okay, let me help you. Go ahead. Come here. Stand next to me. You're good. Come on.
Okay. Young people, I want you to give the Lord all your heart. Amen. Not just some of it. And really, really live for Him. Don't pay attention to what these other young people do. You do what the Lord tells you to do. And serve Him, and you will be the happiest bunch of young people in this whole big wide world.
One more thing, come by and give her a hug when you're done. Miss Francis.
Keep going forward and don't look back.
Amen. That's good. Somebody else. I knew there was some more.
Always walk your walk of integrity.
Walk your walk of integrity. Good stuff.
Make sure you have the hippest clothes and the coolest hair. Okay.
Like Ben.
No, remember that if you choose to walk with the Lord, then you're going to have to choose not to do other things. And that's a choice. That's not something that happens supernaturally. It's a choice.
It's good stuff.
God speaks out of His Word. I'm being content. In our lives, we see people that have more or less, or more, they do more and do different things differently than we do. But like everybody's told you so far, you are individuals. And God has put in your heart a plan, a purpose. And He wants you to be content with what He's given you.
It's good. One more.
I have one, if I can, from my microphone. There are times when you're not going to feel very strong. You're going to feel very weak. And honestly, we are. But it's in our weakness that His strength gets to come through. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And the enemy will attack your joy. He will try to make you feel like you're not happy. He will try to make you feel like when you are serving the Lord that you don't have it all. But you do. The joy of the Lord is your strength to do what is right. The joy of the Lord is your strength to walk when days are hard.
Amen. That's good. That's good. Lourdes, you want to say something? Let me tell you something about Lourdes. She can make some awesome Philly cheese egg rolls. If you've ever had a Philly cheese egg roll, just kidding. Come on. Come on up here.
Don't forget to pray day and night, no matter what you do.
That's good. Thank you. Don't preach, brother.
There going to be some ups and downs. Some, there going to be some highs and there going to be some lows. There's going to be times that you can feel God and there going to be times where you just don't feel Him. But He's still there. He's the only one that you'll be able to trust all the time, at any time and in any situation. Sometimes He's going to place you in areas that you ain't comfortable. but he's got a great word for you. Y'all are the generation that's going to open the eyes of the generations before y'all, the eyes is closed. God's doing a new thing, and he's chosen y'all, this generation, to turn the nation back to God. I really believe that.
It's good.
Trust him. He's going to take you places that you're going to even question, God, is this you? There's going to be people in your life that you are going to minister to. Are they going to minister to you? Or are y'all going to minister together? That's how God works. When he sent out the disciples, he sent them out two at a time. He didn't send one out alone. So you're not alone, because you got God, you got the Holy Spirit there with you. And get into that word. Get into that word. Just like you got to feed this physical body, you got to eat. You got to feed the spiritual. You got to give it the word. And then when those situations come up, that Holy Spirit can work through you, because the word is in you. And that's the power that you got. God said, I never leave you or forsake you. If his word is in you, it's going forward. It's going to give you the answer that you have to make critical decisions that will spring up.
Amen. Y'all turn around, look at Bruce.
I just want to encourage y'all. The word says to seek God, and you will find him when you seek him with all your heart. And it's true, he's real. The word says God is a consuming fire. And he consumes us when we seek him. So just go after him with everything you got.
Amen. Amen. Guys, here's the deal. We're going to wrap up. I want to talk to you for a second. I see small fires that are starting to burn in some of you. And I see some of you that are starting to understand what it means to move in obedience and to have the courage that you need to step out of your comfort zone. And I just wanted to take about 5 minutes or so and let this generation pour some fuel on it and encourage you, because we believe in you and we love you, and we want you to be on fire for God. And we want you to be that generation that carries the kingdom forward. People stand up and take notice. Your lives are different because you do live them as individuals, because you have chosen, you've made the choice to serve him. You've counted the cost, and at the end of the day, you're not ashamed. And I just see the sparks starting. So we want to add fuel to that fire. See you burn brightly. Amen. Church, will you stand with me? Stand with us.
Church offers our community Sunday worship and Wednesday night teaching and discipleship classes. If you would like further information on times and location, you may find us online at mountaingap.org.